Building on Foundations for Eternal Life, Chapter 21, Other Perspectives, Acts 17:11, NIV. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. End of verse. The Berean Jews wanted to be sure that what Paul told them was true, so they compared what he said with the scriptures they had at the time, scriptures now associated with the Old Testament. Up to this point, in discussing the differences between living by the Spirit or living by the flesh, we have largely been relying on New Testament letters written by the Apostle Paul. If we understand Paul correctly, and if this topic is as important as I believe it is, we should be able to find similar teaching from other New Testament authors. Other New Testament authors appear to discuss these concepts using somewhat different words, writing from a somewhat different perspective. Let's look at some of those scriptures outside of Paul's letters which deal with right and wrong ways to live, or a failure to mature spiritually. Jesus appears to me to give a parallel way of understanding living by the Spirit. He referred to it as abiding in Him. John 15:4-10 ESV. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. End of verses. Jesus appears to teach about some people failing to mature in his parable about the sower and the seed in Matthew 13:3-23, Mark 4:3-20, and Luke 8:5-14. Luke records it this way. Luke 8:5-15, W.E.B. The farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other fell amid the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Other fell into the good ground and grew and produced 100 times as much fruit. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of God's kingdom, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those along the road are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, who believe for a while, then fall away in time of temptation. That which fell among the thorns, these are those who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. That in the good ground, these are those who, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it tightly, and produce fruit with perseverance. End of verses. Those among the thorns are said to bring no fruit to maturity. They are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Their focus appears to be on themselves rather than on loving, trusting, and following Jesus. Using Paul's words, they appear to be walking according to the flesh. Jesus also gives us a picture here of what walking according to the Spirit looks like. This involves having an honest and good heart from being born of the Spirit, hearing the word, holding the word tightly, and producing fruit with perseverance, Luke 8:15. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus condemns the religious leaders of his day who were clearly influenced by what I have called the righteousness of the flesh. Here are just a few verses from that chapter. Matthew 23:1-7, W.E.B. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, observe and do. But don't do their works, for they say and don't do. For they bind heavy burdens that are grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to help them. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the fringes of their garments, and love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, by men. End of verses. Similar words spoken by Jesus are found in Mark 12:38-40, Luke 11:37-54, and Luke 20:45-47. Here's another example of the righteousness of the flesh. Luke 18:9-12, W.E.B. He spoke also this parable to certain people who were convinced of their own righteousness and who despised all others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed to himself like this, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortionists, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. End of verses. James seems to refer to living by the spirit or flesh as two different kinds of wisdom. James 3:13-17, W.E.B. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his deeds are done in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and don't lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition are, there is confusion and every evil deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. End of verses. The author of Hebrews talks about a failure to grow to spiritual maturity in these verses, Hebrews 5:11-6:3, ESV. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. End of verses. Peter, like the author of Hebrews, talks about spiritual milk and growing up, 1 Peter 2:1-3, ESV. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. End of verses. Peter also talks about not following after fleshly passions. 1 Peter 2:11, ESV. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. End of verse. Peter encourages us to grow spiritually in specific areas which appear to me to correlate with living by the Spirit. 2 Peter 1:5-10, ESV. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. End of verses. The Apostle John refers to walking in the light or walking in the darkness, which appears to me to correlate with Paul referring to walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh. 1 John 1:5-7, W.E.B. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and don't tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. End of verses. John also writes about the importance of not loving the world, and that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not from the Father, but from the world. 1 John 2, 15-17, W.E.B. Don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, isn't the Father's, but is the world's. The world is passing away with its lusts, but he who does God's will remains forever. End of verses. King David seems to have had at least a basic understanding of living by the Spirit when he wrote these words, Psalm 143:10, ESV. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. End of verse. For further reflection, do you have a preferred way that you understand the difference between living by the flesh and living by the Spirit? A book reference, The Law of Liberty in the Spiritual Life by Evan Henry Hopkins, who lived from 1837 to 1918, originally published in 1884, available for free on the Internet. Scanned images of the original book may have better formatting and better notes than other ebook formats.